Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Now, hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the lighter side of genocide because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. This is the role of this radio show. It is part of your truth of diet, okay? I recommend that you listen to other radio show hosts who are perhaps more inclined towards study and information, like Suzanne Posel's lovely broadcast, Hardline, with Suzanne Posel, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 3 till 5 p.m. Pacific time. No, actually, it's 3 till 5 p.m. Central time, 1 till 3 Pacific. And you can check out the archives of that at OccupyCorporatism.com, can't you? /hardline or...
Yes, there's a YouTube channel. So if you missed it, we turn it into a YouTube video so you can watch it there.
Oh, that's very nice. Okay. Now, it's also it's a lot of work, and people don't actually realize just how much work goes into it. I mean, the night before last, I was up till 6 o'clock in the morning. I got to see the sunrise because I was up so late working. Last night, I was up till 4 o'clock in the morning, up working. All right. And I only do a 2 hour radio show a day. Okay. That's assuming that's the only show that I do that day. And I've also got a whole bunch of other radio shows that I go on. And public meetings. I've got a shockingly large quantity, just like a stack of hard drives full of public meetings. I think there's about 3 or 4 or 5 of them maybe that I haven't edited yet, you know, because I've just been too freaking busy, which will change, hopefully, if I get my new computer. And that's a big if. I need you, ladies and gentlemen, to help me get that computer by giving me $300. All right, here's why. I spent, like, more money than I had on this computer. I had a big donation come in from a very generous listener named James, and the problem was by the time that cash got to me, the computer that was a really good deal that we were going to get in the first place was already sold. So there was nothing else comparable, so I decided to shell out an extra few $100 that I received in donations in order to pay the excess for this new computer, and it wound up costing me like well over $2,000, including postage of like $600 or something, including like taxes that you got to pay to the US government in order to export something that's worth more than a couple of $100. You see what I'm saying? And then once it gets here to New Zealand, after paying all of that, then customs gives me a ring and says, hey, we've got this computer here. Now you need to sign this form, give us your passport details and such and blah, 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 blah. And you have to pay 15% tax on this thing that you've already paid an exorbitant amount to get shipped, to pay the tax in order to get it exported, and then now you have to pay tax again in order to import it. And the price tag on that is $300. So if and until that is paid, and I don't have the money because I just spent all the last of it trying to buy this freaking computer, so now I'm dry, and so I've got a computer being held hostage by customs. Until somebody sees fit to send $300 my way, and so I can pay off these extortionist hostage takers. Like, you just imagine, you know, holding up my Mac with a copy of today's paper with like I don't know, a magnet pointed at it, at its hard drive or something like that. Give us the money, or we will erase it. So please. So please, if you're listening to this broadcast, I desperately need that computer, and I need it like today. All right, in fact, I've needed it for months and months and months. But as soon as I get it, mate, it's going to make my work a hell of a lot easier, because this computer that I'm working right now is big, it's beefy, it's fast, and what have you. But it's not what I need. I need something even better. In fact, I just need a separate computer as well, so I can do two things at once. That would be beautiful. So go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com, donate today, preferably through the Kiwi Bank account, right? Because that money gets in there instantly, whereas PayPal, it takes nearly a working week to transfer. So if you could help me out in that way, ladies and gentlemen, I can assure you, you'll see a hell of a lot more work coming out of me. Like I said, I'm normally up till 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning or whatever, editing this stuff. I should be able to cut that time down rather significantly if I have two computers to work from. That way, if one's importing footage or processing a video, I can actually just switch to the other computer and continue doing the audio archiving and the website updating and the social media plastering and stuff that I do when I've got the opportunity. So please go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. If you've got 300 on you, please donate that. And if even more money comes in than what I'm expecting, all the more better, because I'm broke either way. I just paid my rent and the bank accounts are down to like pretty much nothing. I need my new computer and I need my rent paid. So please donate today. And thank you so much for those of you who do. It's very humbling, actually. And I was just thinking how grateful I am to all this support. And it's just, I've had so many conversations with the listeners who are donators on like email, Facebook, Skype, phone calls, that kind of thing. And the thing that I notice is common about you all of you people that donate, is you're salt of the earth characters, right? The kind of people that you can actually vibe with, the kind of people you can actually sit around and have a few drinks with, the kind of people you could go around to their house and have dinner with them and their kids and that sort of thing. Honourable, decent, good-natured, good-humoured, well-adjusted people. The fact that that kind of person is who is motivated to donate to me is extraordinary to me. It's very, very humbling, as I say. So thank you very much, all of you, for all your support over these many, many years that I've been exposing scumbaggery, because I couldn't really do it without all that support. You know, this show just wouldn't exist. I don't know what I'd do, honestly. I've put all my eggs in one basket. It's kind of why I'm a bit of a basket case, I guess. Suzanne Posel is my very special guest from OccupyCorporatism.com. Now, the problem with terrorism is that it doesn't exist, okay? I said only, not that it doesn't exist. Technically, it does exist because it's a system of government. No, I'm not joking, ladies and gentlemen. Go to the dictionary, okay? If you've got a Google or something like that, Google definition. Terrorism, a system of government that uses threats and intimidation in order to get the people to do what it wants. Whoa. That's called a terrorist state. Terrorism is a form of government. The form of government which we are currently ruled by, in my opinion. All right. People say, oh, no, Vinny, the government doesn't intimidate and threaten people. Really? Do you pay taxes? Well, yeah, but... Did you volunteer to pay those taxes? Well, no, I didn't. Did you by chance ask them, can I, you know, opt out of paying these taxes that I never volunteered for? No, I didn't. Well, that's because you're intimidated by them, because if you stop paying those fraudulent extortion fees to the government, they'll come and take a big wet bite out of your ass. Okay, you go to jail. You get persecuted, prosecuted, the whole nine yards. You're a slave. Okay, you're a slave. It's just that simple. As Mark Passio said, statism is slavery. If you have a state that intimidates people and gets them to do stuff and what have you against their will, it's a terrorist state, and you are a slave of that terrorist state. Okay. Here's how. A real slave has 100% of the product of their labor given to somebody else. A semi-slave who doesn't realize they're a slave gives 50% of their labor forced without their consent, 30% of their labor forced without consent through taxation and what have you, which you can't get out of. Huh? you're still a slave. The thing that is the commonality of the slave is not the percentage of the income that is taken off you by force without you having any recompense for it. It's the fact that you don't have a choice. That's why we're slaves. It's pretty straightforward when you think about it in those terms. And modern serfdom, modern slavery, has become the function of debt. Debt is the methodology by which we can all be sold into slavery without even knowing about it. And I don't know, Suzanne, what's the US debt clock up to now? You know, there's the public debt clock.
17 trillion.
See, that's the public debt clock. And if you actually had like a real debt clock, it'd have to be like 10 times as wide, you know, like to fit all those extra digits for quadrillions and what have you, because there is so, so much unbelievable debt. I mean, seriously, try this in a room full of people, like at a party or something. Hey, everybody, put your hands up if you don't have any debt. You see like one fist in the air. All right, get him. He doesn't have any debt. He must be free.
Get him a credit card. Give him a cell phone.
Yeah. And he has to text and park, motherfucker.
Offer him a loan. Give him a loyalty card, 5% off.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm in debt at this point in time. I haven't really been able to pay it off for like the last 6 years because I'm an activist, you know? Activists paying off their debts with money that they earn.
You're paying off debt that doesn't exist with money that isn't real. Think about that one.
Yeah, it's a game of Monopoly, isn't it? The problem is, in this game of Monopoly, people do get evicted, people do lose their homes, people do lose their jobs, people do lose their lives. All right?
Unless they go and get some friends and sit out on the front lawn and block the foreclosure. Unless they seek out the foreclosure, there's a small knit group of attorneys across the country who are fighting foreclosures and winning and setting precedent in their state to then be used by other attorneys in other state as secondary sources of law, which is, that's your right. So as long as we are resisting, absolutely, but we're not. How many times have you heard about a foreclosure and you didn't even think to get in your car and get your friends in the car instead of going shopping to go sit out in the front lawn and make sure that grandma doesn't lose her house? Her husband just died a year ago. Or this family of five don't lose their house who have been so wonderful in the neighborhood. You're a sitting duck too. Are you a homeowner? Do you rent? You're either one or the other. And guess what? Everything's mortgaged. So if you're living in a complex and they lose their mortgage, guess what? Everybody moves out. If you're renting a home from someone, everybody moves out. If you lose your home, everybody moves out until we don't comply, until we stop complying. We say, no, the mortgage was fraudulent. The agreement was fraudulent. The way in which it was processed through the MERS system was completely fraudulent. No, you can't take this. We held up our contractual end of the agreement. You broke this contract. That means that by default, I own the property. It's mine.
Yeah. Hey, there's an awful lot of solutions, and I found that this is actually the great part about the system, is that the elite are a bunch of liars and cheats. Okay. So they've figured out a system whereby they can lie to everybody and cheat everybody and nobody will realize that there was a lie in the first place. If you find out what the lie is, then you can cheat the elite. In fact, that'd be a great website, don't you think, Suzanne? A website, yes, where you compile all the ways to get out of your taxes, your foreclosures, called cheattheelite.com.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Sure. Every way that we can be civil disobedience, if I can conjugate it that way, we should be. This is not conducive in America to a constitutional republic. And any country that has a constitution, it has foundations. And so it should be returned to those moral foundations that help the people.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because I was thinking to myself yesterday, you know what the problem with the United States is? It's not its constitution. It's the fact that it's not being followed.
Yes, that is the problem. It's sitting there in a glass case in a flipping museum, and people are looking at it. They can't read it because it's written in cursive, and we don't teach cursive in the classrooms anymore. But it's sitting there like it's a flipping relic, and it's alive. It's not a dead document.
Hmm. Well, I think that wants me to that makes me want to utter quite a few cursives, but you know, I'll leave that to the FCC regulated radio shows that I'm on.
But our idea of what we have is so far removed from what we the potential that's sitting in that glass case that was already written out, that has every natural right covered, that makes no differential between what is infringement and what is not, and exactly what you have the right to do, and it's amendable. So you can change it as you go along. Oh, the Constitution is old and it was written in 1776 and it doesn't apply to our new technological age. Then we have the ability to put amendments in there. We can change it. We can allow it to grow with our society.
Yeah. So long as you keep to the core principles, okay? It's the interpretation of the Constitution where the United States has gone awry. Those who have a conservative interpretation of the Constitution just claim that they're conservative when the reality is they actually have a very liberal interpretation of the Constitution. This is the reason why it has been subverted. This is the reason why so many amendments have been changed and so on and so forth. Technically, all of those rights and everything that you're supposed to have as an individual citizen in a constitutional republic are still there. If only you would claim them back as your right. We'll be right back.
In the obsidian sky. We're marooned on a small island in an endless sea, confined to a tiny spit of sand, unable to escape. But tonight, on this small planet, on Earth, we're going to rock civilization.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from a tiny spit of sand in an endless sea unable to escape. It's called New Zealand. My very special guest is Suzanne Posel, my partner in these thought crimes that we're doing. The thought is freedom, and it is a crime. You know, you have a look at society, and it's everything that the way it's supposed to be. Like, if you were a moral person, okay, if you had ethics, empathy, that kind of thing, and you have a look at every single current establishment in society, you would see that it's debased and completely the opposite of anything a moral or ethical person would set up or would stand for. Okay, that's the gravity of the situation that we're dealing with. We've got enough people to solve all of these problems. If only they would get off their asses and freaking solve them. Okay? I'm sick of people with their apathy. Okay? Oh, it's too late. You know, the New World Order's got all their apparatus in place. Blah, blah, blah. They'll just kill me if I come out and talk to you. Really? How come I'm still alive? How come Suzanne Posel's still alive? How come all of us in the truth movement pretty much are still alive? Okay? It's because you're giving the elite too much freaking credit. Okay? They're not all-powerful. They're not omniscient. They're not omnipotent. We are the ones with the real power, okay? And the elite have made a business out of preventing you from recognizing it. It's just that simple.
That is exactly it. No, that is exactly it. That is the man behind the curtain in the Grand Wizard of Oz, okay? That is the ultimate truth. That is the 33rd degree, whatever. That is the eye, all-seeing eye on the pyramid. They have convinced you of things that are not true. And they have convinced you on any conceivable level that you would ingest information. On any conceivable level. It's all fake. All of it. It's all fake. The only thing that's real is what you know, and you can only know something unless you've experienced it for yourself. And by proxy, you can do that by doing the research yourself and stop believing what you hear and only putting your faith in what you know so you can apply it and be wise and be good stewards of the freedom and the sovereignty that you have, because you're giving it away right now. No matter what camp, group you belong to, no matter whether or not you have a tinfoil hat on or not, it doesn't matter. Whatever label you gave yourself or they gave you doesn't matter. Everyone is part of a group. It's groupthink. And it is the antithesis of sovereignty and individuality. And it is killing us individually, as a nation, globally. We need to stop it.
Just stop it, okay? There is one word that you've got to have in your vocabulary and try to use as regularly as possible. Two letters. No. N-O, no. I'm not going to put up with your system. I'm not going to put up with this. I'm not going to subject myself to groupthink. I remember my sister once took me to a skeptics meeting, and they had this young, fresh out of university. Don't you love how when you come out of a education system that's designed to stop you from critically thinking while telling you that, oh, that's the only thing we teach you, you think that you know everything? And so they had this girl there who's fresh out of university saying how great GMOs are and how little risk there is associated with them. And I brought up the point that, hey, you do realize that they don't serve GMO food in the Monsanto cafeterias, right? And they're like, oh, okay, whatever. And this one woman there looks up on her smartphone, excuse me, this is a skeptics meeting, and look at the websites that are publishing this. It's before it's news.com, and it's just not credible. And I was like, hold on a second. You're the Skeptic Society, and the only thing that you're not skeptical of is mainstream media. Does that strike you as insane? Does that strike you as a lack of critical thinking going on? Because that's what occurred to me. And guess what? My sister said, oh, Vinny, you got shot down. Yeah, I got shot down because people are so skeptical that they're only skeptical of things that aren't mainstream. That's freaking stupid.
It is the training. And it is so... We at this point, we can only recognize when the program is coming out. Okay, folks? You got to be vigilant and pay attention to yourself, okay? Pay attention when the programming is coming out of your mouth. When you see, I see a commercial for fast food. It looks good to me, too. It makes me hungry. But that reminds me, I'm still under programs. I need to be vigilant and pay attention. And then at that point, at that one little moment in time, I can make a conscious decision not to participate. And guess what? I'm enacting my civil disobedience and I am not participating. And therefore, the machine is going down just in that one little person doing that one thing. Imagine if 300 million in the United States decided to do that. If you add up the amount of times that you comply with the system and multiply it by 300 million, which is roughly the amount of people in the United States, you will understand why nothing ever changes, okay? Write down a list of all the times that you comply with the system in every way, shape, or form, and add up all those times, and then multiply that by 300 million. And it's all these people doing all of these compliance. The system doesn't care. System doesn't care that information gets out because nobody's doing anything about it. System doesn't care that you're exposing scumbaggery because nobody's doing anything about it. System doesn't care that leaked documents and video and they don't care because no one's doing anything about it because we're still programmed not to act on the information.
Yeah. The CIA figured out long ago that mind control is addictive. All right? Just think about this, ladies and gentlemen. Think about these fast foods and sugary drinks and whatever. Think about drugs and think about the addiction factor that is inherent within them, how difficult it is for people to get off them once they're on. Okay? The government and its mind control agenda against you is also just as addictive. And it is just as difficult to wean yourself off of that really dangerous substance. Okay? It's really simple. Yeah, it's quite difficult, sure. But don't let the fact that something is difficult or challenging stop you from doing it. Okay? If I had, or if Suzanne had, taken the advice of all of these people out there who say, you're not good enough, you're not going to accomplish anything, nothing will ever work, the situation is hopeless and whatnot, we wouldn't be in the positions we're in now to actually make a difference, whatever little difference that we're making. I know that I've saved people's lives with this radio show. I know that there are people who had lost all hope, who were incredibly depressed to the point where they were going to commit suicide, who stopped in their tracks because they listen to this radio broadcast. I know for a fact that I'm making a difference in people's lives. Had I listened to all of those people who told me otherwise, I wouldn't be. And that is the agenda, to separate you from the herd. Okay? My agenda, at least. Separate you from the herd, realizing you are part of a herd mentality and that you've got to start thinking for yourself. Stop taking no for an answer. You're the one who's supposed to be giving no as the answer. Oh, stop doing this. You know, you're causing more problems than you're solving. No, I'm not. Actually, you're wrong. It's not because I'm arrogant that I know that you're wrong. It's because the evidence says that you're wrong, and I'm right. I'm doing the right thing. There is no other option. If you're going to die, and this is my personal belief, Suzanne, is that this country, the United States, is infected with a horrific cancer, and this cancer is starting to infect the people themselves. You're not even part of the government, okay? And yet, still, it gets into your life, starts manifesting itself as health problems, as intellectual disability, as apathy, these kind of things. This is the cancer which must be purged. And if you do come to that realization, that very profound realization that you are addicted to mind control, that you are addicted to appealing to authority that has no morals or ethics, that you are addicted to the poisons that they put on the shelves for you to consume. Recognize your addiction. Recognize that you have a problem. Take the steps necessary in order to get yourself off, in order to get yourself out of that system. The very system itself is your enemy, and it requires your compliance in order to continue its operations.
And one way you can recognize this is you feel that adrenaline rush when you're intimidated by something you're reading. You get that adrenaline rush of fear mixed in with a little bit of excitement. It's the same rush you get when you go on a roller coaster or any kind of amusement ride where you are thrust into something and then released back into safety. When you get that rush, you know that this is a control mechanism and you are addicted to it because you're getting that fix. That's the fix. It's in your brain and all the neurons are firing and there's a lot of electrical activity going on and it looks like the 4th of July in your brain. That's when you know you need to put that down. Stop going to that website, unsubscribe to that YouTube channel, and don't look back.
Yep. On top of that, I feel that there are certain places where you can go that are actually essential for your survival. I think that this show is one of those places where it's kind of like essential listening. I'm not tooting my own trumpet here or whatever, but it's because of the unique perspective on the show that we have fun and we really kind of try to be, open, I think. That's really what it's about, being totally open, totally honest, totally on the ball when it comes to scumbaggery. Okay, that's what this show is really about. If you can't have fun while you're exposing scumbaggery, you have a look at the archives pages at the Vinnie Eastwood Show .com, for instance, and you have a look and you scroll down, you'll see smiling faces, laughter, joy, while we're talking about how we're getting exterminated. Okay, it's the irony there that I think is really, really essential for all of us to sort of get into the vibe with, all right? Dark humor is absolutely necessary in a dark world to prevent yourself from being overcome by that darkness. This is the thing that I recognized earlier on when I was listening to radio show hosts who were always yelling, screaming, ranting, making me afraid, making me go into a fetal position and what have you. That stuff's good because it gets you motivated, it gets you informed in the first place, but it's good only if it's supplemented with this show, the Vinnie Eastwood Show, to help you deal with it, right? There's no point getting apathetic and going insane because you're not going to accomplish anything, are you? You're certainly not going to free your country if you can't have a few laughs about the fact that you're being taken over by ruthless criminal sociopathic scumbaggery. I don't think so. You know, maintain your sanity, and that will be the way that you will be able to take the fight to the insane system. You have to have an antithesis to the system as your tool belt in order to take it on. Toe-to-toe, face-to-face, no compromise, no surrender, because you have all of the tools, all of the power, you have all of the skills that you need already in order to be the antithesis to the system. And it's basically like giving up and allowing the system to exist if you do otherwise. You know, you get kind of frustrated sometimes, sleep deprived, what have you. Somebody told me, oh, Vinny, you need to take some time off. You need to get proper sleep. And I was like, hold on a second. The Truth Movement of New Zealand needs me to do my job, no matter how hard it is for me. It's got to be done because nobody else is doing it. And that's pretty much the end of the story, you know? What's more important, the entirety of the Truth Movement of New Zealand having some kind of representation online to expose its scumbaggery? Or is it more important that I get a few extra hours of sleep a night? I think I've made the right decision here. We'll be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show. It's the final segment. It is the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. I can't believe that we're almost to the end of the broadcast here, Suzanne. It's been a very... It's been an essential listening show. All right. Every now and again, we don't really cover a whole lot of material and what have you, but we just try to go through and process who we are and what we're doing and why. Why? Why is it that we're doing this? For my part, it feels like I don't really have a choice. You know, it's like, okay, try and save humanity and prevent everybody from getting exterminated and enslaved, or participate in my own extermination and enslavement. It's not much of a choice. Hey, we can hear you guys in the background there at the board there. You might want to mute your microphones. So the element here is finding what it is you really love, what it is your natural talent or skill is. Because often who was it that said yesterday? Oh, yeah, you go to university, you pay a shockingly large amount of money, and then you wind up getting skills which are only useful for one thing, and you have to make that decision when you're like 17 or 18 years old, what skills you want for the rest of your life to be permanently stuck in the rut. Frank that. Retool, man. Honestly, 99%. Now, you know what? I'm just going to go around and say it. 100% of the things that I learned in high school and university were completely irrelevant. They didn't freaking matter. One iota. So only once I got busted by the cops that I started realizing something was wrong, that I started watching all those documentaries, that is where my valuable knowledge came from. And this is where yours probably came from as well, listening to shows like this, watching documentaries, and what have you. All of the education that you currently think was of some value, generally, in a lot of cases, turns out to be completely freaking useless. And that's the agenda, to get you to spend all of your time, all of your effort, and all of your money, so that you become a debt slave, into educating yourself for things for a future that no longer exists. Stop complying. For Frank's sake, stop complying. I implore you. There is a whole world of knowledge out there, a whole world of different career opportunities and things like that, which don't currently exist, that need to be created by creative, by diligent, by incredibly intelligent people. These things can be brought into existence if only we would will it, if only we would believe in ourselves enough to tell everybody else that thinks that we can't do it, thinks that it's not possible, thinks that it's not logical, that it's irrational, that we should just get education and get a job and be a slave. You can actually tell all those people, frack you! You authoritarian trash. I'm going to wipe my bottom with your hair if you could think that's going to happen, so you can walk around town smelling like Shiite Muslim. All right? Don't have any respect for people who don't have any respect for you, okay? Respect is a two-way street. Don't hang around with people who discourage you like that. There's a problem a lot of truthers have got, and I've got to tell you, if you've got friends that are not currently woken up, you know, you're really going to have to just stop calling them again. That sounds really sad. Sounds really harsh. But if they're interested, they'll continue to call you. They won't just, you know, demonize you as a conspiracy theorist and force you to change the frickin' topic. Find new friends. There are 7 billion people on this planet. Stop wasting your fracking time and your fracking life with people who do not encourage you, inspire you, or advance you down the path to betterment.
Oh my God. The idea that That is such a foreign concept to people. Our self-esteem as a global society is so far down the toilet that we allow abuse. We allow ourselves to be abused by everyone and everything around us. And we go, oh, hey, well, you know, you don't... Oh, okay, maybe they were having a bad day, or, oh, you know, that's how the cable company is, or psh, what am I going to do? Write them a letter. They'll never give me back my money. I'll just walk away. Oh, well, you know how he gets, you know, before he gets his beer in him, you know. Ladies and gentlemen, we are abused. We have a global Stockholm syndrome going on. We allow this to happen. We don't love ourselves enough to say no. And because of that, it continues. And you can learn about as much as you want. You can learn about every single secret society. You can learn about the guy who invented the words secret and society and how he's connected to all the secret societies. You can do that till the cows come home. And as long as you're sitting there learning all this information in your little box, your box is going to get smaller and smaller and smaller, because that's Agenda 21 crowding you in and boxing you in. And everything's going to change. And RFID chipping and surveillance is the norm. And your kids don't listen to you at all because they don't have to, and they report you because they love the state so much.
Yeah, and before you know it, you'll live in an 8x5 apartment about the same size as a prison cell, and everything that you do will be under close surveillance and scrutiny by some psychopathic, unflinching tyrant at all hours of the day. Okay? Brave New World, George Orwell's 1984, Elysium, all of these sci-fi dystopian surveillance under the radar kind of films. This is the world that is actually being planned for you, and the reason why they put out these films is so that they can prepare you for it. I can say, here and now, I'm not prepared for that. None of us really are. I'll tell you what. Make a decision. You're either prepared to put up with everything until such a time as you are orderly exterminated, or you're not prepared to put up with it, and that you'd rather die on your feet as a free man or woman or child, fighting against that which enslaves you, or you're willing to spend your life on your knees where you are backed ever slowly and cautiously into a corner from which you cannot escape. There is no happiness in that. There is no pursuit of happiness allowed within that system. Unless you are an elite banker and your pursuit of happiness involves kidnapping and drinking the blood of children. All right, basically. They'll be the ones that have fun in that society. It won't be you. It certainly won't be your children that get kidnapped. You know? I just, with Fukushima, the Gulf of Mexico, these two big, massive environmental disasters that were caused by man, you know, like real environmental disasters, that are like killing huge quantities of people, the Corexit 9500 and the Cesium-130, whatever. Okay, these are the two things that just kind of make me sit bolt upright in bed one day and just go, you know what? I'm going to stop working. I'm going to start exposing scumbaggery for a living, because I'm not prepared to be backed all the way into a corner from which I cannot escape.
I think that that's what a lot of people in this movement get into it for. And at some point, the offers roll in and the accolades are coming. And they know exactly what to say to you. They know that you are insecure about the way you look, so they compliment you. And they know they know you. They know what to say. They know how to say it. They get you on board. And all of a sudden, you forgot that you were trying to fight a system that you are now part of.
Yep. Hey, hope springs eternal. I know we might be sounding really depressed and angry and what have you, but the reality is, Suzanne and I, when we have our conversations off air and everything, about half of it is just filled with this uproarious laughter. It's just how hilarious the system is, you know? How crazy people are. It's a source of entertainment, okay? And again, this is why people should listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Things are bad. Sure, things are bad. There's scumbaggery everywhere. There's evil pieces of trash. But frick, it's funny. We'll see you again sometime, folks, at the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.